This podcast takes you into the rarely discussed realm of the personal decisions leaders have taken that have influenced their business decisions and developed them into the leaders they are today. The refreshingly honest experiences of those who have been very successful provide an insight into the challenges they faced, the successes they achieved, and the people who influenced them along their journey. Here's our host, Mark Silvera.
Welcome to Business Made Personal. This podcast is brought to you by the insurance industry's leading education and events provider, ANZIF, via their Careers in Insurance initiative. I'm Mark Silvera. Hey, thank you so much for downloading us today. I have with me Tryon Christos. And Tryon is a fourth generation insurance professional. He started with Interlink Insurance Brokers in 2007 as an admin stroke claims assistant. Since then, he has developed his career over 16 years to now run the business as Interlink's managing director. We'll get more into your family background as we have a bit of a chat, Tryon, but welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So fourth generation insurance professional, I don't come across too many of those in the people I meet. Give us a bit of your backstory before you started in insurance.
Born in Perth, Western Australia, raised by a very, very traditional Greek family. Very strong values, we're all very tight-knit. But to answer your question, which is my backstory before insurance, the reason why there probably isn't one is I don't really remember too much before the age of 5 or 6. By the age of 5 or 6, my father, who was the managing director of Interlink at the time, was actually taking me to factories, abattoirs, manufacturing facilities, large professional business firms. We would go on work trip together, which I thought were holidays as a child. He would actually suit and tie me up and take me to these meetings. So it's probably a little bit of a different upbringing to most, but that was my grounding from a young age. My time before insurance is probably very limited.
So talk to me a little bit about your folks. Mentioned that they were quite a traditional Greek type family. Did you feel that there was an expectation that you would follow in your three generations' footsteps?
Yes and no. I guess there was a certain level of family tradition, legacy associated with the insurance industry, broking that my family had been around. I've never felt obliged, but growing up the way that I did and seeing the opportunities in the insurance industry itself, I guess kind of resonated with the skill set that I have or the skill sets that I do have and some of the things that I love, like, talking to people, negotiating, sales, applying mathematical skills and those kind of things. So I think for me, it was probably quite a bit of a natural shoo-in for the insurance industry itself. So there was no obligation.
Come back to the opportunities in the insurance industry soon, but I wanted to ask you, so at that very, very young age of, 7, 8, 9, you're suiting up, you're going with your dad, you're going to business meeting. Did you feel at any point that you, when all your mates were going on holidays or they were mucking around in the street or whatever they were doing, did you feel that you missed some of that aspect?
Look, at a young age, obviously not. Like I was still, from a really young age being in school, nothing. I think the only people that really missed me were the principals that were calling my father at the time. And I remember being in the car and him saying, his Tryon's on a learning day. So he'd literally be pulling me out of school, Being obviously in my adult life, not really. I guess, look, there's a lot of hard work's gone into where I am today. And yeah, obviously we'll talk about that as well, but I guess probably not. Like I've always had a really close-knit friendship group around me. Funnily enough, which this is just completely off topic in terms of, but similar to the generational part is my three best friends that I've grown up with were actually, funnily enough, so their fathers are actually best friends with my father. There's just this coincidental generational pass down. We're all the same age. We're all a bunch of guys and we've all grown up together. So it's quite special. So the answer is no.
I wanted to ask, so you obviously your father was a major influence on you in those younger years. Was there anybody else that you felt had a real impact on you and your development and just your whole being when you were younger?
Obviously, with my father, I got to watch him sacrifice a lot for our family, for his family at the time, for my family. In terms of other people, I guess, I got to watch my grandfather, who, you know, after he was out of insurance, he, you know, he was still really hard worker. His work ethic, determination. I mean, he was 85 years old and still working before he died, you know. Probably my father and my grandfather. As I developed into adulthood, as I, you know, started my career, obviously that was a little bit different. I found certain mentors and things like that, but those are probably the biggest influences on my life. I think the only other real, I don't want to overlook this because I'm similar to my father, but I'm definitely not him. My mother is probably one of the strongest people I ever met. And I hear people all the time, once they meet her, they know exactly where I've got this from. But she's instilled a very healthy level of confidence in me from a very young age. So I guess, you know, as inspiring as it was to watch my father and my grandfather do what they did with their work ethic, I think from an influence point of view, my mum probably had a bigger influence on me, which people probably didn't see.
Often that is the case, isn't it? Where one parent will always be in the background.
I watched her as the backbone to my father, but obviously I think, you know, and she says it every now and again, she's like, you know, I saw all the flaws in your father and I was trying to make you the, you know, like him, but better, a killer. And I'm like, okay, mum, sure thing. But it's actually true. That's what she did. She purposely tried to extract the flaws out of him in me. So that was quite interesting. You probably want to interview her, mate.
She might be the next one. You mentioned something interesting. You said you saw your father have a lot of sacrifices to make. What did you mean by that?
So, I mean, look, probably he worked very long hours. He quite often used to say things like, you know, there's my home family, then there's my work family. And I think the level of commitment that he had to Interlink, Interlink was effectively his fourth child. I've got two sisters, so there's three of us, but Interlink was definitely his fourth child. He put his blood, sweat, and tears into it. It wasn't unusual for me to, you know, wake up in the middle of the night at, you know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., go to the bathroom and walk past his office and he's just tapping away, drawing stuff up on his whiteboard, you know, mapping things out. His commitment was extraordinary. I do not know anyone like him, and I am not sure I'll ever meet anyone. To watch the man was unbelievable.
So, you know, these days we talk about a lot about work-life balance, particularly in the event of COVID. How well do you think he managed it? But more importantly, what lessons have you learned to help you manage it?
In terms of work-life balance is extremely important to me personally. I have been caught up in the 100-hour weeks. I've been caught up, you know, for months on end. And I think as, you know, the principal of a business and the managing director, this sense of responsibility where you feel like you must. And look, there is no backstop. Like, you are the cavalry. Nothing, no one comes after you. Like, everything stops with you. Everyone relies on you. The weight of the business lies on your shoulders. I do understand that. However, what I've found to become more effective is, I mean, look, I use my fitness to kind of combat that. So obviously, you know, stress, cortisol, working hard, cortisol up to your eyeballs. You know, I find the best thing to do is go to the gym, forget everything, you know, run for an hour, lift the heaviest weights possible. And, you know, I think there's, you know, people need very healthy hobbies. And when I say healthy, I don't mean exercise. I just mean healthy hobbies to completely forget about certain things. Like, there's nothing wrong with always being on, but it, as a long term, it's probably not healthy and it would effectively deteriorate your performance for sure. Absolutely, in my view.
Absolutely. And that's what we're here for, mate, just your views, which is awesome.
My honest opinion.
Talk to me about one of your passions, which is technological advancements. What have you found? So, you know, you're obviously very interested in it. What have you found that's useful in the insurance business that maybe other people haven't sort of locked into just yet?
I guess that's a very fast-changing environment. Things have been changing a lot. So, look, I took over Interlink in, well, been 4 or 5 years ago now. I think it was 2018 in September. Ever since then, it's, to be honest with you, I always feel like I'm behind it, and I like to think I'm technologically savvy. I like to think that I was pushing automation well before, you know, this big AI push and all this stuff started happening recently. You know, I think one of the first projects that I had was effectively revamping our document management systems, our CRMs, the way we actually deal with customers, and I guess leveraging certain technologies to be able to focus on what's important as an insurance professional, which is giving that advice and giving that service. I think my passion for it comes from what's been happening at Interlink since I was a child. Funnily enough, I've sent you a photo if you want to see it. I've got a museum downstairs in my office that I've created. It's got like, you know, the first letter of appointment, which is, you know, an engagement letter from a client that we've got. It's to a guy called Carlo Muzzin, who's now, he runs our claims. He's our claims manager, but he was an insurer at the time. I know Interlink was one of the first businesses in Australia to have a fax machine. Apparently it cost $10,000 a long time ago and, you know, it was unbelievable technology. So like, I think the business itself has probably sparked that passion for me as well. I've always had people around me that have loved technology and always had the newest, latest and greatest, you know. I actually saw my dad in my doorway once when I was probably about, I would have been 12 years old, you know, I was pretty young and he was doing an email. He was actually emailing on his BlackBerry. And I asked him, I was like, did you ever think you'd be sending emails in a doorframe? Like in the middle of a doorframe? And he looked back at me, he goes, honestly, I don't know where this is going. Like, I don't know where this is going. Like I'm emailing someone off a device, you know, smaller than the size of your hand. So I guess, yeah, look, my passion for technology has been sparked from a really young age. I'm really excited for this whole AI thing that's happening at the moment, this big push. I have been all over it. I mean, I've already figured out ways to automatically respond to full emails as someone and actually giving, there's some really cool stuff coming out at the moment. So yes, I've done it in the past. There's, you know, I think people in my team at the office probably hate me in some respect because of the change that I've affected. But I think we're going to a pretty exciting place where we're going to be able to focus our profession into exactly why we're here, which is what we're good at and what we know, our experience, and being able to draw on that without having all of the admin around it.
Yeah, well, you know that saying, don't you? The only constant in life is change, right?
Yeah. And look, I love it. I embrace it. It's exciting for me. It's really exciting for me.
Tryon, you won the WA NIBA Young Professional Broker of the Year Award in 2020. You were one of the young guns in the Australian Business Australia Awards in 2021. When you received those awards, did anything change for you?
I think yes. I don't think it changed me and changed what I was doing, but I think it changed my mindset around giving me the confidence to know that the direction that I was going in was the right one. You know, I've always had a passion for creating a great team and, you know, obviously after I took over the business, carrying on the family legacy and all the good stuff that I've worked hard towards. So look, nothing really changed, but it kind of gave me the confidence and I guess it really solidified that vision that I've got is the right path for me.
So you mentioned creating a great team and you mentioned in 2018, you became the managing director, having started in that sort of admin claims assistant type role. How did you go from running the business as opposed to being in the business?
Yeah, it was a big hurdle for me. Like it was quite challenging. Casting my mind back, I was managing clients. I was a servicing broker at the time. I had a team. I was doing, you know, managing business development and, you know, servicing at the same time and managing staff. So obviously we've got quite a strong service ethos in the office at Interlink. So the responsibilities there were completely different to what I do today. I like to think that they shaped who I am and they hardened me as a person because they definitely did. But I guess the mindset shift was probably the greatest challenge for me. Also the most rewarding. Today I get to work on the strategy, the long-term vision, making sure that everything that we do day to day aligns with that vision and that strategy and actually creating that team around me to execute on it. And for the record, I have some amazing people around me. Like you mentioned, these awards, I ended up pulling my team down into our breakout room every single time I've got one of these and I'm sitting there going, this is not me, like this is everyone. I wouldn't be like, yes, you know, family business. Nepotism definitely didn't play a part in this one. You can get into that if you want. You know, when it comes to the team itself, I've got some amazing people around me and it's just the amazing people around me that give that to me.
Did you find, you know, coming into it and, you know, obviously you're quite a young man, did you find that you struggled getting people to take you seriously?
that was probably one of the other big challenges for me. That definitely one of the most challenging things about taking over the business itself is, you know, like I mentioned, you know, there's people in the business that used to babysit me. You know, our longest serving staff member, 36 years at Interlink, just to give you an idea. So, you know, she's one of my co-directors, but, you know, she was there at the hospital the day I was born, to give you an idea. So like probably was a huge shift for them. It's not that they weren't respectful, but they didn't give me the stripes. Like I earned every single one with them. People were very hard with me at the time. And look, and it was rewarding because I got to show them being a competitive person. I know what I am. I know who I am. I know what I want. So being able to prove to people, whether they're wrong or not, it's a different story, but being able to prove who I am to people and actually show them they can trust me and, you know, that I actually really appreciate them letting me lead them. Yeah, it's been a good journey, very character building.
That's a very nice way for saying you went through a little baptism of fire.
Yeah, it was, baptism of fire, absolutely.
I wanted to ask you a little bit more about that because you took over from your dad who he was still obviously around. And did you find that he was more involved in the business than you would have liked him to have been? Did you find that you were getting advice without seeking it? I'm saying that politely.
So 5 years before I took over the business, we appointed a CEO, Nadeem Shaheen. He was a brilliant mentor to me. If he hears this, he will know that we are nothing alike. But I think that's what makes it special, you know, like I learned what I wanted to be and what I didn't want to be. And it's not to say that, you know, he's wrong, I'm right. But, you know, we've all got our own management style. We need to, you know, base it around our personality, our strengths. By the time that I'd taken over, to answer your question, my father had already taken a bit of a back seat in the business. The actual reason he didn't take the business back over at the time, my grandparents were both really sick. That was his parents, and he wanted to obviously focus on that and take care of them. So I thought when I took over, he would still be, you know, the backseat driver telling me which direction to turn. But he actually put a lot of trust in me. And I mean, the whole family put a lot of trust in me and actually just let me run with it. I think mainly because I'd been on the board for probably 3 or 4 years at that point. So I think the views that I brought to the table and I guess the ideas that I had to push the business, I think they had already built that level of trust in me to give it a shot.
Let's talk about challenges for a minute.
Which one, mate?
So some people might say, well, you know what? He was born with a little silver spoon in his mouth and he's had a pretty easy run. You know, look at him now. He's a young guy. He's the managing director of his parents' company, et cetera, et cetera. I want to talk a little bit about challenges. What would you say has been the hardest challenge you've had to face in your life?
I had a really, really good think about this. Doing what I do today is easily the hardest thing that I've ever done. Like worlds apart from anything else that I've been through, I think I don't have a crazy overcoming adversity life or challenge that really matched up to what I do today. However, I think because of that, it was quite difficult starting into the role. Again, like, you know, earning people's respect, you know, earning my stripes in the business, working hard, proving that I'm worthy to, you know, the 25 people, 30 people at the time that were there. But I guess, you know, insurance in itself is a challenge. You know, we've got to put it out there if people aren't aware, there's, you know, financing issues, interest rates going up, insurance rates going up. You know, when you're in a booming market, you can't find people when you are required to scale up and it's almost impossible. So, you know, what do you do there? Like everyone looks up to you. Being the managing director of a business, every single person in that business looks up to you. And if you don't know where to go, well, there's a problem. So you always need to have a plan, I guess. But even then, like on touching on that, when there's a contraction in the economy and, you know, income comes back, how do you scale back? And it's, I guess, navigating those challenges as a whole, I guess it's a never-ending problem, really. And I think my problem-solving ability and I guess my desire to solve problems, I can't help myself. Put a Rubik's Cube in front of me, I'll twist it up and I'll solve it, mate. Like I can't help myself, you know, like I actually quite like problems. So yeah, like I guess in terms of challenges, that's 100% easily the biggest challenge I've ever faced, but equally as much the most rewarding. I guess that's with any challenge, right? Like the bigger the challenge, the more rewarding it is when you overcome it.
Absolutely. And you know, and sometimes the it's not even the overcoming of it. It's actually going through the process, which then changes you. And you know, like you said, you learned what to do and you learned also what not to do, right?
Yep.
Talk to me about younger people entering the industry. What are you finding? How do you see it being a young person yourself? Are you seeing the industry changing? Are you seeing it getting more traction or more airplay with the younger generation?
That's a really good question. Very loaded. I think the younger generation probably don't give the older generation the respect they deserve on this topic. We have a lot of young people in our office. We have a lot of grey hair in our office. Both are equally as important. I think when it comes to just breaking down the question, when it comes to attracting people, I definitely have a bit of a passion around it. I know how good of an industry it is. I truly believe, I believe this deep down that insurance is probably the best industry to be in. I mean, look, there's probably a couple of other places, but you know, there's big licensing requirements around it. Insurance is the greatest industry. Convincing the younger generation of that is obviously a big challenge. I think the media give us a bad rap. I think, you know, we sell protection, we sell progress, we sell peace of mind. There's things that we do as an industry so well. And I think as an industry, we get wrapped around the knuckles a lot for making one mistake. And, you know, insurers aren't out there to get anyone. Insurance brokers aren't out there to get anyone. We're here to help people. And we're here to make sure that when something goes wrong, that we can help get people's life back together, their business, their personal life, whatever it might be. And I think, you know, that's not marketed well enough to the younger generation. I don't think enough people are coming in. I see it changing slowly. It's slow. Like, we've got a slow trickle of younger people coming to the industry. I think younger talent will attract younger people as well. Unfortunately, you know, like, you know, in 10 years' time, I probably won't be able to attract the young talent that I do today. People look at me, I know I'm a young leader, but I guess, you know, that kind of helps them and gives them aspirations. And I do understand that, you know, the way we do things, just to break down what else, like the other thing you said, which is, you know, technology moving and I guess the older generation not moving with it. I disagree in a way. I don't think that's correct. I think, you know, when you can categorically show someone that's been in the industry for 50 years, which that's my claims manager's been in the industry for 50 years, you know, he's one of the most tech savvy people in our office. He doesn't write anything down at client meetings on paper. He uses his iPad that connects to his OneDrive and SharePoint and feeds it back to the office instantaneously. They can see him drawing up on a document live. So I guess, you know, if you can show, I think, a resistance to technology, but when you can really show someone the benefit of it, I don't think they actually resist that much. I think it's a bit of a stigma where people go, like, my mother needs help with her phone all the time. Like, you know, mobile phones are quite intuitive, But the people that do try will be fine. And the people that are shown that their job is actually easier will be fine as well. You know, like, we're talking about the same generation that's watched the telex turn into the fax machine, that's turned into email, mail, then email. Like, they've adapted more than anyone. They actually can continue. And I've seen it myself and I've watched it, and there's people in our business that are living proof of it.
We're speaking with Tryon Christos. He's the Managing Director of Interlink Insurance Brokers. I wanted to change tack a little bit with you, Tryon, if we could. I wanted to ask you about how you've gone with the business exposure now that you're the MD, and how has that impacted you on a personal level?
So I guess it's changed me a lot. I didn't realize how much joy it would give me. I always knew it would be hard. I had this vision in my mind that I always wanted to be where I am today. I got into the role. It was a rude shock. It was way harder than what I thought. Whatever anyone tells you, it's harder. Like, especially if you've never been in something like this before, it's a lot harder. And I guess one of the reasons why is people, right? You take on a lot of people's problems on a daily basis. But I think that's what probably makes it the most rewarding is, forget clients, let's just say leading a team of 40 people today, you're effectively their psychologist at the same time. Like, you're their boss, you're their brother, you become everything to them. And as much as people don't like it, personal life affects work life. If your personal life is, you know, in a bit of a rut or something's wrong, it's almost impossible to leave your problems at the door when you walk into work every morning. So like being a coach and being that shoulder to lean on and being able to guide people. And I guess, you know, if you can see someone struggling, you can help them. And in whatever sense there is, I think that's probably the most rewarding part. And I think that's what's actually changed me the most with that exposure to people. It's actually increased my fulfillment in my job and my happiness. I think that's the best way to describe it. I love it and I get a lot of satisfaction. And I know it's not business. I know it's not doing a deal or, you know, implementing technology to make us 50% more efficient. It's actually just helping people.
And I would argue that's probably the main part of what we do, right? Let me ask you about the fact that you started work at Interlink in 2007. You've been in the business now, as we said, for 16 years. Have you ever been tempted to explore other opportunities in other businesses, Tryon?
Yes, always. Temptation is always there. Not for any wrong reason. I mean, just to give you an idea, I grew up with a very entrepreneurial father. I grew up with an extremely entrepreneurial grandfather. In 2010, I almost went to the dark side, over to the underwriting side, almost. But just before I accepted the job, funnily enough, day was etched in my mind. It was the 22nd of March, 2010. It was the Perth hailstorms. It was like cataclysmic. I remember looking out the window thinking, oh my gosh, like you know, is the world ending? It was black outside, you know? I didn't take the job because of that, because I was working in claims at the time. So obviously, you know, that went from, you know, a cruisy 20-year-old, 40-hour-a-week job to working around the clock for months. Saturdays, Sundays, it was all a work day. You know, I had some really good managers that were forcing me in there. That was character building too. I guess even after that, I've always had quite an entrepreneurial spirit. At 22, I started a business with my friend importing snapback caps, believe it or not. It was actually just a certain type of hat that went spectacularly down the drain. From the age of 18 to about 25 until I took over a team at Interlink, up until 25, I used to buy and sell things and flip things on eBay and, you know, get them from the paper and put them online. And like, well, that was quite a fun journey. I learned that from my grandfather. I watched him do it my whole life. At the age of 30, I started a safety and injury management business, which obviously synergizes with insurance broking very well, having that workers' compensation type risks in Western Australia. So we can, you know, obviously help our clients even more. Only probably a few months ago, I had my young marketing guy that I took on as an intern. I found him as an intern at a marketing business. He was with me for 3.5-4 years, and we've just started a business together as well in marketing. So yes, I've always been tempted. I think my entrepreneurial nature will never stop me from ever looking any, like I have to look somewhere. I'm always, you know, doing something. Have I ever thought about leaving insurance? Never. Not once. It's never, ever crossed my mind to get out.
I actually did get out once for a couple of years.
You never get out, mate. It's not a thing. No one gets out.
I was actually in real estate for a couple of years and then I missed all the network. I missed the people I knew. I missed the camaraderie that sat behind it. I missed the support. And it didn't take me long to come back in. Just a couple of final questions before I let you go, Tryon. If you were to go back to that 7-8-year-old young boy that was traveling around with his dad, what advice would you give him knowing what you know now?
I think knowing that I was on the right path was probably always a great thing for me. Again, growing up, I didn't have an obligation, like I mentioned before. Like I never really felt obliged. Knowing what I know about the industry today, I would have given myself more confidence to go 100% all in. And I did my first year of my business degree at university. I was working full-time and doing university full-time, like night school. And I guess, you know, it's not that I regret it. I'm glad I did it. But I probably the first couple of years when I first got out of school, it would have been nice to have direction. But, you know, I still don't think that's a bad thing. You know, by the age of 25, I had a very clear direction of where I wanted to go. And I think, you know, especially in today's day and age, people are 30, 40 years old and still don't know where they want to go. Like, I'm not sure there's a piece of advice that would really change anything that I would have done.
And if I gave you a magic wand and I said to you, Tryon, you can change anything about the insurance industry with this magic wand, what would you change?
I touched on this earlier. I think there's a bit of mud on us from some bad exposure that we've had. I don't think there's a lot of bad people in the industry. I think there's a lot of honour I think people really genuinely want to do the right thing by their clients. And I think we're probably painted badly by or in any external industry, including the media. Yeah, it just puts a bit of mud on us. You know, like one of the most disappointing things that I've ever seen is, you know, I think as insurance professionals, the second least trusted profession on earth. We're dealing with millions and millions of dollars of people's assets, like sometimes hundreds of millions, billions of dollars. There's actually not that many bad people out there. And I think the mud that has stained us as an industry needs to go. I don't know how we do that. I've been combating that myself through, you know, getting out there and talking to people. But I think that's probably the biggest thing that I would want to change.
And, you know, getting the good news stories out is nowhere near as sexy as, you know, this poor family's house burnt down and the insurance company won't pay. That sells a lot more papers than the good news story about the 10 other claims that were settled in that same street. I wanted to ask you one final question, and that is, Tryon, what's next for Tryon Christos?
I love insurance. I don't see my life without it. I am going to continually build the best team that I possibly can around me. All I want to do with my career, give young, talented individuals opportunities that they wouldn't normally have that I probably got. That's actually probably my biggest passion, Mark. I love finding a young, talented individual and going all in on them. And even when other people don't have faith in them or whatever it might be, I guess for me, that's going to be my future. It's what I really enjoy doing. I really enjoy helping people and watching them prosper. I think that's probably one of the most rewarding things. So I think, you know, the future, that's one thing you can guarantee with me.
And keep it up, mate. We need more people like you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Tryon, thank you so much for being on Business Made Personal with me. Thank you so much for lending us your ears. Please remember to click follow on your podcast app or subscribe at bmppodcast.com.au so we can give you a sneak peek of our next guest. Until next time, I'm Mark Silvera, and you've been listening to Business Made Personal.